2 p.m. This regular monthly board meeting of the Yakima Regional Clean Air Agency Board of Directors will come to order. Will the clerk please call the roll?
John Devaney?
Here.
Stephen Jones?
Here.
Amanda McKinney? Dennis DeCio?
Here.
Jose Trevino? We have a quorum.
Thank you. Are there any additions or deletions to the agenda?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I do apologize for the physical report. We missed one part, half of the account payable, so I would like to add that.
Thank you.
Fiscal manager, she is sick, and I did part of that, so it's my mistake. So I do apologize. I missed half of that account payable.
Thank you for that correction. Will you email that correction out to the board members?
Yes, I will. Thank you.
Are there any other additions or modifications to the agenda? Hearing none, we'll get to public comments. If there's any member of the public who wishes to address the board on matters relevant to our business, you may do so now. We ask that you identify yourself with your name and your hometown or address, and we do ask that you limit your comments to 3 minutes. Are there any public comments? If you'd approach the microphone and identify yourself so that we can catch that for the recording. Thank you.
Hello. My name is Dave Hansen. I reside at 211 East S Street here in downtown Yakima. I am one of the two senior pastors for the Yakima Vineyard Church, and I am the executive director for Sunrise Outreach Center. Sunrise Outreach has been working with the homeless population for the last 15 years. For the first 9 years of the extreme winter weather shelter, we operated all of the shelters on behalf of the homeless network of Yakima County. I have a good deal of experience working with the homeless population. And would like to just speak on a subject that just came up within the last 2 days, where both the shelters in the downtown area were told they were not allowed to have open fires. So I have two primary concerns. One is it's a primary source of heat for a whole lot of people. Capacity at those shelters is upwards of 200 each. And so not that it impacts every one of them, because not everybody huddles around the fire all the time. But for anybody that's trying to get away from their bed or their bunk, it's really the outdoor resource that's available to them. The second concern is, having been a long-term resident in downtown Yakima, where my ministry is centered, I'm witness to many house fires, barn fires, and so forth, many of which have happened right across the street from me. I say many, three that were directly across the street from me. So, I mean, I've seen fires out of control at the Greenway, at downtown residences, in the woods, and so forth, in the brush. For every one fire we extinguish in a controlled atmosphere where people are getting services and hopefully getting off the street, we're now creating a great deal more uncontrolled fire situations. The impact on the air, I would imagine, is a great deal more. Thank you.
Dr. Tahad, if I could ask you to follow up on that with some information maybe for our next meeting on what emergency authorities are available for forming fires for homeless and what alternatives might be.
Yeah.
I don't know if you'd be ready to address that now.
I am ready to address it right now. As a matter of fact, we have received a phone call complaint about the first one was in the newspaper that is for the mission. The first street, they were in open fires. The second one also received a complaint about the camp, and that's what we called back, And as a matter of fact, currently we are under stage two bail ban. And it is very true, the gentleman, what he said a while ago, as far as if it is the only source of heat inside a building or a house, they can use it in their wood stove. But this is an open fire. As far as those are regulations, as a matter of fact, December 31st, 2000, it is completely prohibited to have an open fire in an urban growth area. So they give small cities up to 2006. After 2006, for any city with a population of more than or less than 5,000 people. The city of Yakima was from the get-go, they are not allowed for any open burning. So it's the same, you know, you are doomed if you do, doomed if you don't. We do understand exactly the situation, and that we sympathize 100% with the homeless or whatever situation. It's not only the we're not targeting anybody. It's just that the people, when they call, they said, well, you give me ticket in my house using my own wood stove, and then you are allowing other people to burn. So that's how the situation started. But I will definitely look at if there is any emergency. But as far as the rules and regulations are written, and I'm not trying to the rules and regulations, I don't make those, of course, but it is what it is. And we suggested for the missions, as a matter of fact, to use propane heaters. They can use propane heaters. I have been dealing with the churches for so many years. And if it is the creation of fires, there are certain exemptions for those. And then I worked with a lot of churches that they start using these propane heaters, and that solves the problem eventually. So that's what we suggested. But it looks like I received a phone call today or an email from Cayman newspaper. They were basically saying that we have threatened to issue a ticket from CAM. That's not true. We have not threatened, but if somebody asks us the question, what are, my understanding, the conversation went with one of our inspector, what are the consequences if I keep on burning? I keep on burning. So what the rules and regulations, he said he told them the rules and regulations say, according to our rules, it's $10,000 per day. But that is not a threat. That is what's written in the rules. So maybe it was interpreted as, no, we are not issuing a ticket. And we did not threaten. I just wanted to make that very clear. And I told the lady from China, she's more than welcome to come over, and then we can clarify that for her.
So I'm sorry, did you have a question?
No, go ahead.
So I think that when you say a number like that, it can scare people. So that might have been taken that way by whoever heard that explanation. Sure. We should do a little more research into what the alternatives are, so that those who are using outdoor heating sources for the homeless population and people in shelters understand what their alternatives are, don't feel like they're left without any.
Do we know if there's a way for people to apply for grants to buy propane tanks or heaters, or so that in case they can't afford those, is there a source for that?
Well, I will look into that very deeply, because we have right now a grant that is for wood stove in particular. We can use part of those education to help. And I told the gentleman who spoke with me, he said, are you going to buy them? I said, I really don't have an answer for you at this point in time. But personally speaking, I am willing to help on a personal level. So that was my answer. And we will look into that. I don't have any. It's not this situation we have encountered this situation before, and the gentleman, eventually they said, yeah, it's not really a big deal. It's a small amount of money. They can use it. It's just a heater on the top of a propane tank. It's not a heater. I don't think it's going to take a lot of money, and we should be able to.
Hello, this is Commissioner McKinney, and I apologize. I was waiting for the right time and a break in conversation to say that I'm on the call, but I apologize, it seems, for missing maybe the beginning of the conversation, but is it possible to give the exemption? Or is it just, so is this a subjective call? Because my understanding of the response was that since outdoor burning has been banned since 2000, it's not new. I understand the logic, but is it possible to issue an exemption? Because we're also talking about a very specific exemption, you know, the amount of emissions for just this small temporary issue seems to be negligible, and I'm just wondering if it's possible to actually issue it, or is it a matter of you simply cannot?
The answer to that, the authority I have, I cannot, but they can apply for something which is called variance, because that's a state rule, and once they have to apply that in front of you board members, and then it goes to the Department of Ecology, and if they approve it, then it comes back to you. If you want to approve it, then approve it. But straightforward.
Thank you, and I appreciate that clarification, Doctor. And so my question is, I think it's always good to respond to requests with options for how does one take next steps. And so I'm very pleased to hear you say that there's some alternatives that you might be able to provide by way of grants to maybe purchase or assist in purchasing something that is allowed. But I do think it would be appropriate for us to outline for them that they can, in fact, request a variance and offer our assistance in accelerating that for them.
Okay. Thank you.
Doctor.
Thank you, Doctor, very much.
Dr. Hott, point of clarification. So there is no such thing as a warming fire exemption inside an urban growth area. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
That was a digression from public comment, but I think given the nature of that comment and the time-sensitive nature of it, I think it was appropriate that we diverted from the agenda slightly. But were there any other public comments for the board at this time? So please approach the microphone and identify yourself.
Thank you, members of the board. I'm Michael Kam, the executive director of Camp Hope. The doctor is correct. There is propane alternatives, but to give the board an example, we bought patio heaters, which is what was suggested to us to keep that many people warm. They run on a 20-gallon propane tank that'll last 3 hours. So we've already went through over $140 worth of propane just since yesterday afternoon trying to keep people warm. We've had 7 people leave the shelter and choose to go back to the Greenway, where they're now setting up illegal camps, which will set fires to stay warm. So the doctor was partially correct with your staff member called. However, I'm the gentleman that he talked to, and we spoke to him on speakerphone because we've had a negative experience with him in the past. So we had other staff members listening. What my question to him was is that it seems to me exactly what you're talking about here is that, you know, we're trying to keep people warm. We're trying to get people off of the Greenway, off of the streets, so we don't have more illegal fires where they're burning illegal material, not firewood. And the response that we got from him is this is our second warning. So the first warning we got was last year when somebody donated some cedar shingles to us. We weren't aware of that. We were advised of the cedar shingles not being allowed, and we stopped immediately. What he told me was is that if we continue, he'll write me a citation for $10,000. So the doctor is incorrect with the conversation. I will tell you, having been a public employee, the way that your inspector spoke was not any way that it's been pertained to you guys today. And I think it would be in a way that as board members, you would not be very happy with whatsoever. That's been our experience with that person both times that we've dealt with them. That's really kind of why I'm here today. I understand the letters of the law that you're being required to follow. I just think that I'm really glad to hear the board willing to look at other alternatives, because the alternative is now we have 3 illegal fires going on the Greenway that are not in a supervised area, that are not being contained, that are not with firewood. Now we have people burning whatever. in areas that are going to cause much more damage than a couple of campfires to go on. So I appreciate the board willing to at least look at alternatives if there is even something as an exception. We worked really hard to get those folks off the street, really, really hard. And I can tell you since the snow flew, we've been out a lot trying to get people off the street. I concur with Mr. Hansen. I've seen some people start fires that I have no idea how they're even alive with what they're burning and what they're breathing in and so on. But they are. And so I really appreciate the board even looking at some type of consideration, because a nonprofit like myself cannot sustain that amount of propane regardless, especially with the unprecedented numbers of homeless folks that we're seeing come in seeking shelter and so on, with some of the traumas that they have and so on. I know it sounds trivial to some of us, but a campfire to them is very, very therapeutic. Very therapeutic. And when I tried to explain that to the staff member, he actually laughed at us. And so that's one of the reasons that we're here in front of you today, is I don't think that was probably his greatest moment. I have employees too, and I know that sometimes they do stuff that I really cringe about, and I wish they wouldn't have done that. But I think a lot of this could be handled just like this in a simple conversation, not with the threat of a citation at $10,000 per day. Because what he said is, he would cite me for $10,000 a day for every day he could prove that I had the fire. That's completely different than what's been delayed. And I realize the doctor wasn't there for it or anything else. But that kind of stuff is why people get upset and so forth. I've had tons of people tell me, let's get the pitchforks and torches. We don't want that. We want to figure out a way to deal with this and address this accordingly. So I thank you for your time.
Thank you very much for coming in to talk to us.
Can I add one just simple thing here?
Yes.
I really appreciate this comment 100%, but I spoke with the inspector, and that's the conversation. It is a fact that it is in our rules for $10,000. Actually, it's $12,000 per day. It's not 10. But that is a fact what is written in the rules and regulations. The only thing I wanted to add, yesterday we had an exceedance. It is our PM2.5 is 37 point something. So this is the second exceedance we have for January. December was pretty kind with us this year. But the truth of the matter, those are really going to cost us a lot. And that's what we are trying to really minimize or almost eliminate the exceedance of 0.5 above 35 micrograms. That's all that I want to
say. Sir, these are competing priorities, and I understand that your staff have to follow those rules, but it is, as has been said, important that we help the public understand how to navigate our rules to what you want. So that we're running businesses and providing services. So appreciate your knowledge of that, Dr. Tomasi. Are there any other public comments?
Mr.
Kay,
I just wanted to ask you, and as a nonprofit, you have someone who does some fundraising for your group?
Okay. We sure do.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. Do you plan on doing any kind of large scale event or anything else?
Yes, we have to. We're going to have our yearly gala, hopefully, right, if COVID doesn't swing up again. But yes, we do that. But we're constantly writing grants. Commissioner McKinney and her office have been really good about trying to get us additional funds outside the box because of the swing that we saw. To give the board an idea, we went from seeing about 70 people per night pre-pandemic to we're upwards of over 200 now. My family shelter holds 10 families. I have another 31 on a waiting list, families get in. And so we're kind of seeing unprecedented numbers. So unfortunately, the funding doesn't equate to that.
Right.
So we're kind of constantly in fundraising mode. We're constantly with donors. So like even the firewood is donated by donors and so forth. And even the first heaters that we talked about, we had a donor purchase those and so forth. But now we have to keep up with the propane. But yes, we do have an event like that.
Hearing no other comments, we'll move on to the consent agenda. Has everyone had a chance to review the December 9th board meeting summary?
Yes.
And also the December 2021 monthly activity report. Were there any questions about either of those items? not, I would entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I make the motion we approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Commissioner McKinney, I will second.
Thank you. It's moved and seconded. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Are there any opposed? Any opposed? Hearing none, motion is approved. Thank you. Moving on to the regular agenda, Interim Executive Director's Report, Dr. Todd.
Mr. Chairman, Board Members, Public, good afternoon. Let me take this opportunity to welcome our new board, Mayor Bishio. Welcome. Before I start my report, the first bullet in my report is the State Implementation Plan, the SIP. In December board meeting, I reported back to you that Ecology has approved our regulations to be included in the SIP. Ecology sent that approval to EPA. EPA took our approval in two steps, basically. The first step was to approve the wood heater and burn ban regulations. And the comment period ended in December 2021. So this is the second one wherein they are approving they are recommending an approval for our general air quality regulations to be included in the federal, in the SIP. And SIP is a state implementation plan. Just for the benefit of everybody here, basically the Federal Clean Air Act says that we have a national ambient air quality standards. Everybody must be able to be below those national ambient air quality standards, and one of them I mentioned PM 2.5. So then every state submits their state implementation plan. How are they going to comply with those? So some of them are through rules and regulations and so on and so forth. So because we are a local clean air agency, we submit our rules to the Department of Ecology. Department of Ecology sends this to EPA, and they look at it, say, yep, they can, based on those, what we have, what we see on those programs, I think they can be below those national ambient air quality. And the final say, of course, is for EPA. So that was the second step, is that they are going to approve our general air quality regulations. And it is included, I believe, it started on page 14 or 34. That's where the air plan approval for Washington, Yakima Regional Clean Air Agency, general air quality regulations. And the comment period should have been ended on January 6th. So, as soon as EPA takes the final approval for those rules and regulations, I will report back to you the outcome. That is for as far as the first bullet, which is the state implementation plan for the compliance and engineering. In the table in front of you, you can see that we have about six complaints for the month of December. And we issued three notices of violations. That is for the compliance and the engineering. For the air monitoring, the third bullet, which is, as I said a while ago, December was really kind of kind to us. Usually we don't have this kind of nice weather. We do have a few exceedances in December. But this December we didn't have any, and we should not expect any. But unfortunately, we have one yesterday, and a few days ago we had another one just barely, 35.2. For the PM10, we should not expect any exceedance. And the final one, the final paragraph, is the yearly graph from January to December. So starting probably next month, you will start seeing the exceedances and the new graphs for the monthly graph. And those exceedances we have, those were during the wildfire for the annual graph. And that's basically, that should really conclude my report, I believe. Subject to any question.
I have one question.
Yes.
Under your chart for complaints, violations, There's two violations listed under industrial sources, but no complaints. So how were those violations discovered?
Those were discovered. One of them through permitting, basically. So they, if there is some exceedance through the permitting issue, not just.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that a little loudly and more clearly? How was it? How were they discovered?
They have permits. We issue an order of approval or a permit, and they report back to us. So some of those were incidences through their own reporting, too.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So in these complaints, you have new source review.
Yes.
And every once in a while, we see new source reviews, but we don't know what those are. If we have a new source review, can you enlighten us onto what that new source review is for?
Okay. Yeah, we can.
Next time.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, it's, we include that on the monthly activity reports. In the monthly activity reports, which it used to be, are page 8 of 34. We say the new source review approval is either temporary or permanent, and how many we received, how many we issued. So we wrote the number. We write the numbers.
Okay.
But if you want the specific, we will start giving you.
I'd like to know the specifics.
Sure.
I'd like to know what kind of new business is showing up in Yakima County.
Sure.
I think that'd be helpful.
Absolutely.
Any other questions? None. We move on to action items. How do you want to summarize 7.1 health insurance recommendation?
Yes, sir. For the action items, the first one we have is the employer health insurance. So insurance has been really a concern for this agency for not only for this agency, probably for everybody. I know that for a fact. But the truth of the matter, if you look at, I have attached to the memo a few charts. The first chart, if you look at it, page 24 of 34. If you look at it, the employer contribution since 2013 all the way to 2022, barely minimum. There is, in the memo, I said it started 2016, but as a matter of fact, if you look a little bit further, it's 2013. So the first, this agency also gets an increase in insurance almost every year. Currently speaking, we don't have a pay scale either. So most of the time, the second, there is no systematic way of dealing with the issue, whether it's from the previous administration or what. I'm not blaming anybody here, but that's, I'm stating facts. So this year we have some increases. That those increases are going to come out from the employee paycheck, wherein they didn't have any increase for the past 3 years, in addition to the inflation, which everybody is aware of, about 7.2% so far. So what, when I looked at it, I thought it is fair enough, and I summarized it in the memo, basically saying that we have few issues. The retention for the employee is really coming, getting very thin. Some of the employees, it's a fact, they have dropped part of their insurance because they could not afford it. And I don't want to specify any person in particular, but I can use myself as an example if you prefer. I did drop my kids. That's beside the point. So, I believe it is the employer. We lost few employees also. We have savings from the loss of those employees. The budget looks good. I looked at the numbers. The increase is very minimal. I thought the agency can basically absorb this increase at least until the new fiscal year, which is July 1st of 2022. Whether the new director or I don't know. Eventually, somebody has to look at this in the short and the long run for the benefit of the agency as well as the employee. And truly speaking, the employee are this agency. That's what I wanted to say. So my recommendation is I recommended, I looked at it, the least number I could come up with, that we are not going to cut any budget, any penny, it's the 6%. That's my recommendation. Subject to your any question, that's what I came up with.
And Dr. Tahat sent me the draft of this. I had, you look at the budget annually, you don't often look at numbers over multiple years. And so I was surprised that it had been several years since we had changed the employee-only number and been back since 2016. There had been any change to 40 and spouse or employee and children employer contribution rates. So while I think Dr. Tahat is correct that it's appropriate to wait and to review overall salary policies, director selected, this is probably well overdue, and not having employees see an actual reduction in take-home pay with the new insurance rates here, probably appropriate in my opinion, given the competitive labor market we find ourselves in. Whether this is the correct amount or if anyone has any different opinion, I think that it's appropriate to discuss, but have a particular recommendation in this resolution that Dr. Tahat put forward. Does anyone have any questions or have any comments? I see Dr. Jones.
So you have seven different plans here. Does the employee get to choose which plan they decide to have?
They do, but most of them will be, way back then, if it's just only employee, usually it has been always, I would say 99% of the time, the agency is covered as an employee by themselves. And most of the, those what are offered to us, but we have no employee ever have chosen the higher one. Those are offered, but they are not, where most of us on the lower deductible.
Because they're responsible for the difference between the employer contribution and the overall rate.
Yes.
So the agency doesn't make that choice on their own, though?
No.
Each individual makes that choice.
That's right.
Have a defined amount that we contribute towards that total.
Right.
For those different categories.
Well, my question would be, why doesn't the agency pick one of the insurance plans and say, okay, this is what the agency is going to use?
Because it's, for instance, the employer contribution for employee is $880 for spouse. If you add a spouse, is $1050. If you add children, is that's the contribution from the agency. So the agency will give you that amount. You want to choose a Cadillac, go ahead, and you will pay the difference. The agency is not going to pay the difference. Those are offered from the insurance. This is the insurance hefty plan. You can choose any one of them, but the agency is limited with the following amount. And if you want to choose, to be honest with you, I'm going to be honest with you right now. I'm not going to use Kaiser Permanente Washington Classic if I have to have full family because I will go home with zero.
Mm-hmm.
So that is not doable. So my take home will be almost zero.
So, and there's no group plan that you can join. We're not really a state or a county agency.
These are the options available through
Washington State.
Okay.
Yes. Now Oh, yeah.
We do not contract like an employer would.
Mm-hmm.
It would be the option available to the state plan.
I see. No, I'm sorry.
Government employer gets
okay.
offers us package.
That's more clear.
Yeah.
The Fort Jones also, we used to be with Washington County. That was also really a good plan. It's also low plan, but they started increasing to the point that Washington State became lower. So we
Are there any other questions or any comments about the proposal put forward by staff?
Commissioner Anderson, none for me.
There are no questions.
Did I just say Commissioner? I think I said Commissioner Anderson. I apologize. Commissioner McKinney, no questions for me.
All right. Thank you. If there were no questions or just to change, is there a motion to approve the resolution put forward by staff 22-01?
Are we feeling like we need more clarification on choosing between the plans?
We do not choose between the plans. Our only decision is, do we leave our employer contribution rates, which are
uh-huh.
amount, the rate they're at now, or do we increase them by approximately 6%, which would be the first adjustment since 2020 for the employee only and the first adjustment since 2016 for all the other categories. Motion to either modify or adopt the resolution as presented. Or if there is no motion, then it fails, and the resolution is not adopted and take no action.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to propose that we table this proposition until we get a little bit more information. I'm not so concerned about the individual contribution that the agency makes, but the contribution for spouse and children. That seems to be a larger discrepancy than just the individual contribution. So that's where I'm a little bit confused and concerned.
Commissioner McKinney here. I would like to offer that I can have our county human resources look at this and see how it relates, just a matter of comparison to the differences for the contributions as you've just described.
That sounds good. Dr. Jones, I suggest that you summarize your questions to Dr. Lahat and to the County Human Resources staff, and we will be able to then have those questions answered before the next meeting.
That'd be great.
And just to clarify, are we
–
motion to table?
No, I don't think we need a motion to table.
Okay.
There's been no motion to adopt the resolution.
Okay.
So the resolution will be just deferred. But we will put it on the agenda for discussion at this item for discussion at the next board meeting. And in the interim, I would expect further discussion in direction to staff with questions that board members would like to answer.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just have one clarification, too. I just want to ask, are we impeding in any way on health coverage by tabling? Is staff covered?
Staff will remain covered. They will see because we do not adjust the employer contribution and their renewal rate goes up this month, some employees will see a reduction in their take-home pay. And I think that's what Dr.
Okay.
Lahat was concerned about, is that it is not
sure,
clear.
Sure.
Lots of employees and a fierce competition in inflation and in labor markets and wage rates, that having our employees actually see a reduction in the net amount in their paychecks would put us at more jeopardy for turnover.
Yes, and I just want to make it clear. I've noted that, and it is of high concern for me, and so I just would like to say that I am committed to trying to get the answers as quickly as possible so that we can address this issue, knowing that fact.
Great, and the board can take further action on benefits and make retroactive if necessary. That does not preclude us from doing that, but no one is losing their health insurance once they do not take action.
Thank you, Chair.
Any further questions? not, we'll put that on the agenda for next time. Thank you for bringing this to our attention, Dr. Mahat. Health insurance is extremely complicated, and it's far more bureaucratic than air quality regulations. I appreciate you trying to summarize this.
It is indeed, and what I noticed, most of the time, the health insurance has been always included as a table or appendix in the budget. And that was never really given any thought until, though we talked about it as staff. Staff are not happy, totally not happy, which I understand, because there is no increase in their salary, and yet there is increase in the health insurance. Why do you put it in the budget? I said, that I could not answer. But what I can promise is that we should take it out from the budget and add it as a table. So for the budget of 2023, that there should be a discussion 2 to 3 months before that. Where does this agency wants to take their employee? How much they can really take? And I mean, this is not the first year, the second year, and this is their third year they are taking cut in their pay because there was no increase in their salary. And I said I can use myself personally. I dropped my kids, not from the insurance, because of the mere fact I'm an engineer. Engineer, they don't think normal. So I believe that my kids have less probability of getting sick than me. So they are more important to me than myself. So let me make that very clear.
And I want to acknowledge that we had discussions around reviewing some of our payroll policies, as well as both the intervals at which those are reviewed and comparability before the prior executive director left. So that is still on the agenda for further discussion. It's difficult to do when we're short-staffed. So I think that will be mindful of the time and other board members' other commitments. Let's move forward. Approval of fiscal vouchers and payroll authorization transfers for December. Has everyone had a chance to review those?
Yes.
Can the clerk summarize those?
Yeah. For the fiscal report, as I stated at the beginning, Krista, she is sick, and I did get most of this work, and if there is any mistake, I'll take full responsibility, which, as a matter of fact, there is, because I dropped half of the, of the account payable, which I just distributed to you, and we do the account payable twice, once at the middle of the month and the other one at the end of the month. And I also would like to thank our counsel, Mr. Julia, who's basically told me about it, and Krista looked at it, and then we found out. So there are two of them, the one I just distributed, and the other one for, we are asking for an approval to accept and approve by minute action. Account payable, a total of $142,538.02. And the payroll of $42,324.35. I just would like to clarify one more thing for the benefit of those with the asterisks. Most of them are reimbursed. That's why if you look at the number, they are pretty high. Those are most of those from Woodstone change out. So we get this money back. So it's not, we pay it, but we get it back from the Department of Ecology. So that's why the number is high. Our agency cannot afford every month 100,000. That should conclude the report, Mr. Chairman.
Very good. Are there any questions?
I do have one. On the budget item on page 33, you have the charge for professional fees. For $126,954.
My recollection was that was
the professional fees?
I think we categorized them as professional
fees. Okay.
That's why you're separating the two. Okay, fine. Thank you.
Thank you for that question. There were no other questions. I would entertain a motion to accept and approve the fiscal report and payroll authorization transfers for December as modified.
I move we accept those.
A second.
Commissioner McKinney, second.
Aye.
Are you opposed? Or abstention? That is approved. Moving on to action item number three, election of board chair and vice chair for calendar year 2022. For new board member, our chair and vice chair are elected annually. I'm willing to continue serving as is Mayor Trevino as vice chair, unless anyone else wishes to. If there is a nomination point.
I'd like to nominate as slate of officers John Devaney for chair and Jose Trevino for vice chair.
Is there any other
nominations? Mr. McKinney, I will second that. Can't do it fast enough.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Appreciate it. Happy service. Other business, I will just give a brief report on the search for our new executive director. We have contracted with County Human Resources staff to help us with that search process. Other than signing the contract and paying the bills to the county, Dr. Tahad is not participating in the preparation of those documents in the event that he does apply. The county staff thought they would have a draft announcement for us last week, but because of weather and a lot of COVID staff being out, a lot of unplanned sick leave being taken, they fell a little bit behind. I've been told that we will have that draft by the 18th. Which point it can be circulated to the rest of the board for review, but we can get that posted. The job announcement, when it is posted, will be open until filled. So we'll start the search, and when we have a good selection of candidates, we will look at scheduling first round interviews. Any questions about that search process right now? Any other business at this time? I will just welcome Mayor DCO to the board. We're happy to have you and to be here so soon after having been appointed. I was teasing her that by being on the council, you get appointed to a long list of boards, and we're happy that she found time in her calendar to be here to be notified of the date. Hearing no other items, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
I move we adjourn.
I second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion is adjourned. Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you very much.